If someone asked you, just who is Jesus, what would you say? Well, there are many things we could say about Jesus. But the average person who does not follow Jesus Christ might wonder, well, just who is this Jesus? For many, he was just a good teacher. People like a lot of the things that are taught in the New Testament, you know, the moral values and so forth. Or at least the ones you can pick and choose. For others, he's just a religious figure. Some doubt that he even lived. But just who is this Jesus? And for some, he's nothing more than a curse word. But getting to know this Jesus is extremely important, as you and I all know. You know, we can say as Christians, well, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, he's my friend. He's head of the church. You know, he's the Savior. He paid for my sins. And the list can go on and on when we talk about Jesus. But there's one aspect of Jesus that we must always remember and pass on to others, because everything else falls if we don't get this point right. Jesus is eternal God. We talked about this a bit back in December. But when we think about Jesus, we must remember who he is. Not just who he became when he was born of Mary, but what he was before, what he had emptied himself of according to what Paul wrote in Philippians, and to what he has returned and now reigns with the Father. He is eternal God. Our text today is from John chapter 8, verse 58. And the overall context here in John 8 is that Jesus is having a confrontation with the Pharisees. And, you know, they view themselves as being the descendants of Abraham, and they have it all right. And yet they're having conflict with Jesus because they don't see eye to eye. And Jesus is teaching, and they're challenging him on some things. They want to know who he is. They're challenging his identity. And Jesus, in turn, challenges theirs. And indeed, they were descendants of Abraham, but they weren't behaving like it. They were not behaving as Abraham would. And Jesus points that out to them. And at one point, he says, anyone who believes my word and follows it will never die. Well, you know, they get irate over that statement, because who are you to say if someone listens to you and obeys you, your word, that they will never die? And they talk about Abraham, and they make the statement, you're not even an old man, you're not even 50 yet, and yet you claim to have seen Abraham? And Jesus says in verse 58, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Now at this, they picked up stones. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill Jesus because of two things he said. One, before Abraham was born, I existed. And two, the way he said, I am, which is a variation on the name of Yahweh or Jehovah, however you want to pronounce it, the name of God that God gave to Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, and when God's calling Moses to go back to Israel, well, to Egypt, to free the Israelites, it says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. I am. The whole focus of the name of God, both Old Testament and New, the New Testament version, the Greek version, means the self-existing one. Or in other words, the one that has always existed, always is, always will, unchanging, the existing one. And that's what Jesus claimed. What's interesting is that he says in response to their challenge, I tell you the truth. Jesus was making an emphasis here that what he was saying, they needed to hold on to with all their might. It is absolute truth. It's easy for us in our day and age, and I think it's probably been true throughout history, really. It's been easy for people to doubt the Word of God, to look at it and make all kinds of excuses as to why not to believe it. But it comes down to this. Either God is God, or there is no God. Either God is God, or all that we know and all that we experience is worthless. Because once it's all said and done, you and I live, you know, we're born, we live, we die, and then cease to exist forever and ever and ever, forgotten, useless, meaningless, unimportant. What we know is only for this very brief time. You know, I love looking at watching old movies. You know, movies made back in the 30s and the 40s. And the sad thing is, almost every single person in those movies is dead. If it wasn't for those movies, I wouldn't know who some of these people are. How many of you remember watching, here I'm going to show my age, Ozzie and Harriet on TV? Some of you used to watch it on TV? No, nobody? Yeah, if you, okay, Irene. Oh, brave soul. Thank you, Irene. I was afraid to be the only one. Well, we watched an old movie last night with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. I hope some of you know who that is. They're long dead, too. But there was a girl in it that sang. She was one of the love interests for one of the other characters. As it turned out, it was just before, or about the time, she married Ozzie Nelson. And she went on to fame with him in his band and then the TV show. Many of you may know more, be more familiar with the name Ricky Nelson. It was Ricky Nelson's mom. In this old movie, all dead and gone. Oh yeah, we have the movies. We have Ricky Nelson's music. But if we didn't have those recordings, we would not know who they were or that they had ever lived. But the thing is, there is a God who created all things, and he has chosen to reveal himself to us so that when we know the truth, then we know what's real. And we know that what we do here in this life is important and does have meaning and does have purpose. And we can certainly throw it all away. We can certainly live our lives as if it doesn't matter. But God has said, your life is important. I created you. I love you. I want you with me. And I'm preparing a place for you if only you will follow. That is the truth. And I have paid for you if only you will accept it and follow. That's the truth. And that's what God's Word proclaims. Life has a reason. And it's all about God wanting us. He wants everyone. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But it always comes down to individual choice. Will we listen to the truth? Will we listen to God's love? Will we follow Him and love Him back? Or will we not? The choice of eternity is caught up in this. What we choose here and now. God's given us the choice. But what do we choose? Well, Jesus said, you got to choose the truth. You know, that's your only hope. But then he goes on to emphasize about this truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was born. I mean, Abraham is a well-documented person. The Israelites knew all about Abraham. He was the father of the Israelites. They revered Abraham. Abraham was an important person and has a major part in the book of Genesis. A major figure. And when someone referenced Abraham, well, people sat up and took notice. He was the top dog, you might say, as far as the Israelites were concerned. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I was. What he was kind of stating here is, as much as you revere Abraham, Abraham had a beginning. Abraham had a life. And Abraham died. And all these years later, they still admired and looked up to Abraham. But he had been long since dead. Jesus says, and here's the important part, before he was born, before all that you revere about him even began, I am. I was already existing. I have no beginning and no end. I'm greater than Abraham because I'm the self-existing one. Well, that's what they knew that God claimed for himself. And here's Jesus claiming it. Now, all they had to do was really seriously take in all the miracles they saw Jesus do. All they had to do was take in all the teaching that Jesus gave. But because he didn't agree with them on everything, they rejected him. And that still goes on to this very day. Though it is obvious who Jesus is, people will still say, yeah, but I don't agree with you. And they choose to go their own way instead of listening to God. But notice what John says in chapter 1, verse 1. You know, we just dealt with this at Christmas time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You notice how Jesus is referred to here? As the Word. When God created everything, he just simply spoke. The power of God's Word. And think about this for a second. When you look at the vastness of the heavens, they've been there since God created them. The heavens haven't changed in all these centuries. You look at the earth and you see the clouds and you see the trees, and while things move and alter and whatnot over time, it's still clouds and trees and the earth and people living on it, animals living on it. It's still here. With his words, his speech, he created all of this. Think about the human body. Think about all that's going on within your body right now. The blood pumping through your veins, the heart beating, the lungs breathing, the things we don't even think about that are going on. The digestion. Some of you may have stomachs growling right now. God made all of that by just speech. Now, the first Adam and Eve, you know, he formed personally, first out of dirt and then out of Adam's rib. But think about, what did he do? He blew into man, Adam, and Eve, and they became alive. Again, the breath of God, the speech of God, the creative capability of this Almighty God. And all we have is just a quick thumbnail sketch in the book of Genesis. I don't know how detailed God's speech is as far as how long anything took to form. But what we know is God spoke, and there was response. And that response, each and every time, was good. And we are today the result of God's speech, of God's breath, of the Word. And Jesus is declared to be the Word of God. That means he is the truth. That means he's to be taken seriously. That means when we listen to what he says, he can change us. But he will not change us against our will. He could speak to a storm and it would immediately cease. He could tell Peter, you know, go down here to the stream and there'll be a fish, catch a fish and there'll be a coin in it and you can pay our tax with that. What Jesus said would happen. If he said to someone, your child that's 10 miles away is now cured, they were cured. All it took was the word of the Lord, and things happened instantly. And so Jesus is to be taken seriously because his word is powerful. In John 1, verses 14 and 15, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. That was a mouthful by John. The one coming after me, and John was revered by most people at the time, he has surpassed me because he was before me. He's referencing the deity of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. And there's where we get tripped up, I think, from a human perspective. We look at Jesus and we see Jesus being born of a virgin. We see him growing up. We see him in the temple at age 12. We see him begin his ministry. We see him as a man. We see him dying on a cross. We see him resurrected and returning to heaven. And we still visualize him as a man. But the Word took on flesh so that he could pay for us. That's how powerful and how personal. First, the hand creation of Adam and Eve, and then hands-on providing salvation for you and I. And the day's coming when, again, hands-on, you'll bring everything to an end and usher us into eternity. But in between, there's the proclamation of the Word, the words of the Lord for us to listen to and to follow, full of grace and truth for us to believe and trust. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17, Paul wrote about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Paul really sums up who Jesus Christ is. And we see him, he's the image of the invisible God. That is, when we look at Jesus and his life and what he exemplified, he's showing us the very nature of God, of the Father. Firstborn over all creation means that he is the one in charge. Doesn't mean, you know, he was the first created. It means he's the one who inherits. He's the one who has earned it by rising from the dead. He created all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. And notice he created government. That's why Scripture tells us we should pray for our leaders, our government leaders. Because they're answerable to God to how they take care of people. And if they don't take care of people, they have to answer to God. Oh, when human beings take on responsibility, they're taking on more than just their own life. They're taking on responsibility for so many others. And it's a greater burden that a lot of people don't think about. They want power, but if they don't use it properly, great will be the response from God against them. All things were created by him and for him. You get that? We were created for Jesus, by Jesus. And now we are recreated by him, for him. Because we are not our own. We've been bought with a purchase price, that of Jesus Christ himself. He's before all things and he holds all things together. It's Jesus who holds everything together. It's Jesus who keeps us from flying off this planet. He's the one who maintains the gravity. He's the one who keeps the stars in motion and the sun in motion. He's the one who keeps the sun from burning out. He's the one that holds it all together. And he's the one, with one word, will stop this world and bring it to an end. He is God. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 talks about how much he loves us. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God the Father something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, we picture the humble Jesus. We picture the one who looked like us, who walked on this earth like us. But we often forget that he came from heaven, emptied himself in order to be one of us. That's how precious you are to him. He gave up the power and the comfort of eternity to be here. And as he took on some of that power as he began his ministry and the marvelous things he could do, he still was limited by time and space until his resurrection. He conquered death, and now he's back where he belongs, with the Father. And the name that was given to Joseph to give to Jesus and for all of us to know, at that name, every human being will ultimately bow down to. Because, you know, when you're confronted by someone more powerful than you, you are humbled. And one day, every human being, no matter how powerful they've been in life, will be humbled before the Lord. Some to eternal damnation, but others to eternal life. To those who have believed him and trusted him. Keep in mind, as we go through these I Am sermons, when Jesus says, I am, on this particular day in Israel, Jesus said, I am. I am God. And everything hinges on that. Let us never forget who he is. Let us never take it for granted. Never take it lightly. Because he is our creator. And as our creator, he's our savior. And as our savior, he loves us. Let us love him. Right now, we're going to sing a song called I Will Follow. It starts out with, Father, always near, I wait for you here, resting in the love that vanquishes fear. Love that vanquishes fear. While this song is directed toward the Father, it is the Father, Son, and Spirit. It is God. But he's given us love and he's shown his love. Love that is special and the only full, complete love is from God. And he's given it to us. And so as we live our lives, we get busy, but we need to always be mindful that he's always here and always loving us and waiting anxiously to help us, to comfort us, to guide us each and every time we turn and look at him. Let's stand together, shall we? And sing, I Will Follow.